Welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jerry.
And here we are, our September special now. And I'm just going to keep calling them September specials, October special. It'll be this way until like next year, whenever we finally get back to maybe some weekly events or some like more than once a month. Or we might keep it at once a month. I don't know. But this month, we actually have quite a bit to talk about. My brief attempt at the Mana Traders event sadly did not go too well. Poor deck choice on my part. Zendikar Rising coming out and already a ban announcement coming up. And the impacts that it's having on Modern. Really don't want to talk Standard. Standard's an absolute crap show. We'll briefly bring up things. But as always, Jerry, man, how have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been all right. The only Magic I've been playing is our Friday Night League we've been doing for Modern. It's been a lot of fun. I'm currently in fourth place. The goal is to make the cut to top eight, and then we do a double elimination style tournament.
Ooh, okay.
So it does the whole double bracket thing. You're guaranteed at least two matches of Magic.
Nice.
Pioneer would be fun, and it is like it's still the type of format I like it to be. Play a four mana thing and just start ending the game. But nobody's turned on by that. People are after the bans happened, they saw that other four mana engines, whatever engine you please took over the format again, people just didn't want to play it.
Right. Yeah. And so, I don't know what it is with that. I really enjoyed Pioneer when we were playing it at the different events and that, and yeah, just to see it kind of peter off now into the breeze, mainly because everything went to Arena.
Yeah, everything is basically Arena now, and Arena now dictates what cards are good and what's not good. And I think actually part of our problem is that we just have way too much data way too quickly now.
But yep,
it's a whole, I guess that kind of caveats us into sort of discussion there, but up to you. What are we talking about first?
Well, we'll hit real quick. I'll recap my Mana Traders event.
Go ahead.
I went in with Gruul midrange, so of course, you know, Gem and Blood Moons and everything else, and I could not have done worse with running into probably like Blood Moon's worst matchups, if you will. And then in the matchups that seemed good, it was like I got mana screwed, or just, you know, spot removal, hand rip, whatever it may be. Just it was sad. I started off, I think, 4-1. And I was like, all right, we're doing great. Five more games, I got this. And I went on a six-game losing streak.
Oh, ew.
At which point, I was like, all right, you know what? I'll come back a couple days later. Came back a couple days later. Lost four in a row. And it's like, I'm done.
Yep.
At that point, for me to try to grind back up would have taken a lot of investment that I really didn't. Like, I was enjoying playing Magic, but I wasn't enjoying the prospects of the decks that I would have wanted to play at that time. Now, however, thanks to Zendikar Rising, Modern has some pretty sweet things going on.
Oh boy.
Obviously, the list is completely spoiled. It's out on Magic Online and on Arena. We're already seeing issues too, where WotC has announced that there may be an announcement coming up soon. And we anticipate there being a potential ban for that. But before we get to Standard and whatnot, Modern decks have gotten a lot of fun thanks to the Modal Dual-Faced Land Cards, or MDFCs, I believe is what they're calling them now.
Actually, almost, I think five Mythics out of this set, I'm sorry, not five, six Mythics out of this set have made an impact in Modern.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at all the Mythics here. Let me make sure I'm not missing any in the multicolor colorless section. I think I am. Eight Mythics out of this set have impacted Modern in some way.
Let's go through. Let's talk about the cards that have had major impacts in Modern.
So we'll start with the four easy ones, the flip lands. Yep. All of them except the white one, because the decks that have been trying to make the white, like, there isn't really a deck that makes the white one work.
No. But now there are the occasional decks that have seen it, and I think the main one that actually really tried to pull it in was the Charbelcher deck.
Yes. That one managed to pull it off most successfully recently. And there were a couple in the MTGO Modern Champs. There were two that made top 16, but both of them got slapped by the Ad Nauseam players who finished in the top 8.
Yes.
Woo, my deck. But all of these lands are, so all the decks that are being formed by these are primarily decks that they don't have any lands, and they're rewarded for not playing any lands. The premier choice right now is Goblin Charbelcher, where you can just play a Charbelcher and then activate it. Sometimes they'll do it immediately on the same turn with Ironcrag Feet.
Oh, weird. We brought that up whenever Ironcrag Feet was initially spoiled. We're like, man, now just to break it with Charbelcher.
Yep, and it only took printing of this entire mechanic to at least make it happen.
Right.
I purchased my 4-foil Ironcrag feats before the set was even spoiled. So I'm the big winner there.
Nice.
I did it. Because I originally was playing them in Dragonstorm for the fun of it.
Yep. I mean, why not?
Because you can. But that alone, plus sometimes just paying 4 mana on turn 1 and then turn 2 land ritual again, because you were just looking for one more land that came into play untapped, is enough to kill your opponent.
Absolutely.
And that deck has been really good. It is really consistent. I suspect that Recross the Paths could get banned out of it because of a time constraint issue.
Okay, yep.
Because a Goblin Recruiter got banned for the same reason, where turns would take 10 to 15 minutes because you're trying to reorganize your deck in that particular order to make it happen for you, to give you the best possible series of draws. Now, in the case with this, that's a little less so, because what you wind up doing is you set up your deck with Recross the Paths to then hit Reforge the Soul for its miracle cost, and then you draw 7 new cards, and they're like 4 Simeon Spirit Guides, Ironcrag Feat, and Charbelcher, you win. You know, something like that. The other deck that is rewarded for having no lands is No Land Spy Combo, or Oops All Spells, as some people know it, where they use Undercity Informer or Balustrade Spy to target yourself and flip your deck over because you have no lands, and you get giant dredge rewards. Your Narcomoebas, Prized Amalgams, Silver Smoke Ghoul, Creeping Chills, and you use... Some versions were using Nexus of Fate, but I found that I prefer the green version where you're using copies of World Spine Worm to put them back in your deck instead.
Yep.
Both have a merit. With the blue version, you get the access to actually cast Prized Amalgams and Narcomoebas. With the green version, I get access to best sideboard card and Force of Vigor.
Yeah.
So it turns out that deck also has the best graveyard, anti-graveyard sideboard in all of Modern. It's 4 Force of Vigor and 4 Leyline of the Leyline of Sanctity. So you can block Bajuka Bog, which is great. And yeah, that's just the all-in combo deck. I can do its thing turn 1 sometimes, turn 2 pretty consistently, turn 3 every time. And that's fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah.
The last deck that has gained a big, big resurgence, and people are blowing up the page on Facebook for this, is Neoform. Neoform had always had, like, 5 random 1-drops in the deck to kind of smooth your draws, like Safe Right Passage to find a land, Edge of Autumn to ramp a land. They would use the 1-mana spell that says gain 4 life. If a creature died this turn, gain 8 life instead. Life goes on. That's it. Bunch of random... One, two drops in the deck. They all got replaced by Turn Timber Symbiosis because it is a green card that is a land, so it gives the deck's lands 14 through 17. Costs 7 mana, which means that you can feed it to a Nourishing Shoal in a pinch, and it allows you to cast Allosaurus Rider. You will never cast this card, but it does everything that Neoform wants.
Yep, and that was a big argument that I initially saw in one Facebook group. You took a lot of flack when you brought this card up, and then it just starts popping off hard because
three people had 5-0s.
Yeah,
just with Turn Timber Symbiosis, they were like, "Huh, maybe I have a point," and they did it.
This does everything we want it to do across 3 layers in 1 card. It gives us a land if we need to. Oh, no, I bolted myself. So what? I can still draw 14 cards, hopefully get to a Nourishing Shoal, and something bigger to be able to gain some life back, whether it's a 7-drop, creatures that we have throughout the deck, or hopefully we get that Atoctin Worm and we can gain 15.
Yep. And now to some degree, you don't even have to – in certain matchups, you don't have to pay the 3 life. Sometimes you just play the land tapped and pass turn.
Yep.
Like, that's fine, too.
Another deck that it's been abusing this to is Amulet Titan.
It's either pay 7 mana to hopefully hit a Titan, or it's a land for the Titan.
Well, even better, too. So you can play this land, like, turn 1, get out your Tribe Scout, whatever you need to do. Or, get that Amulet of Vigor out. But then later on, you can tap this for mana, play a bounce land, return turn Timber Symbiosis back to your hand because it comes back as a sorcery, and then you can cast it.
Oh, that's so rude.
So you can use it for the mana, play your bounce land, target your Turn Timber Symbiosis, return it to your hand, and cast. And now not only are you getting you're getting your Titan, but you're also getting more lands, you're fueling your engine, and it's just insane to watch go off.
That is gross. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's see. The next card that has made tiny waves. People are trying it out. It hasn't had any successes yet, but it's Seagate Stormcaller in Neoform type style decks.
Okay.
Where if you use a Seagate Stormcaller and you cast it, the next spell you cast gets copied. So you do a double Neoform and you're able to chain up to several creatures. And then the last creature you play is all your creatures have haste and you just win on that combat phase.
Okay, so this is not so much in the actual Neoform deck, but this is in just another creature's toolbox deck.
This is a creature toolbox deck with a very, very fast Twin-esque type win.
Gotcha.
Where, and it was, it happened in Historic. Somebody did it there. Hasn't really happened in Modern yet.
Okay.
But the idea is that you Seagate Stormcaller, you Neoform it into... I can't even think of it. It's just the idea is you keep copying the ability on the stack for every card you hit copies Neoform, and then you end up having a battlefield of ridiculous stuff. Because when you copy the Neoform, you don't actually sacrifice it as part of the casting cost. So you net gain creatures every time you do it.
Okay. I like
it. And then it hits the new 3-drop from Zendikar that gives all creatures haste. It's a defender. It's a 0/5 defender that gives all creatures you control haste.
Nice.
Because what?
Yeah. Because why not?
Oh, yeah, that card. That's another card, but that's not a mythic. It's an uncommon. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what the card's name is. I'm in the page. Tuck Tuck Rubble Fort. Okay. Zero three defender with reach. Creatures you control have haste.
Nice.
And it's a common. The next card that has made waves out of the mythic slot is Scourge of the Skyclaves.
Yes.
People were saying that this could be played in Death Shadow. And yeah, it's fine. It's the Tarmogoyf in Death Shadow. Usually, obviously, it's based off of your opponent's life total. But unless they're Eldrazi, you're almost always paying life. So this will always have some power and toughness. So Eldrazi and Boggles, this card is terrible. Everything else, this card is great. And it gets even better when you start winning the game.
Yeah, definitely. It's
like if you're able to connect with a single shadow, Scourge of the Skyclaves is like a 6/6 for 2 at that point. And they're all into that. They're all about that. That's fantastic magic right there. They'll do that all the time.
Yeah, because just with the amount of, again, like fetching and that we do in Shocking that occurs in Modern, why not put it in? I think mostly I've seen it as a 2-of.
Yeah, it seems to be the number. It's a 2-of. It also can be Claim Defamed. Gee whiz. I haven't really seen that trick pulled off yet, but it can be. And it's always a prime target, just like Gurmag Angler or Death Shadow for a team or Battle Rage. I don't think I've ever seen it kicked, but it could happen.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of mana right there to try to kick it. And I think at that point, I don't know what the matchup is, but you've probably lost.
Probably. But if it resolves, you probably won.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty nice big kicker. But anyways,
another area real quick I want to talk about good old Skyclave with is actually in Commander. Yeah, I'm going to bring it up for Commander here.
All right.
Because of Nethroi, Apex of Death. All right, this is the Abzan Apex mutate creature that we got out of Ikoria. And it states, whenever this creature mutates, return any number of creature cards with total power of 10 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. When Skyclave is in your graveyard, its power is still equal to the highest life total subtracted from 20. So 20 minus the highest life total. If somebody's at 40, its power is negative 20. So you can go select that one, and now you have 30 power that you can bring onto the board. The only downfall is if somebody goes less than 40 life, so your total power exceeds now that value of 10, then the entire effect fizzles. I did some research before I wanted to talk about this just to make sure that 100% it was true, and sadly it does work that way.
Huh.
So have fun abusing that mechanic in your reanimator decks, everyone.
Also, one last thing about it. I wasn't going to say this, but someone actually did do it randomly. They went 4-1. I sadly did not see them go 5-0, but they played this card. Scourge of the Skyclaves is an ad nauseum mirror breaker.
Really?
Yeah, you're not killing it.
Very
Who's
true.
And they actually cast it for the kicker.
Oh, yeah, you can.
We actually just kick the thing. Like, here, I'm going to kick this thing. I got two Pact of Negations, a Veil of Summer, and an Angel's Grace. All right, we're in. Like, it's a mirror breaker. It's basically a variation of the Scytherix trick I was doing many years ago, and I love it. I was like, ha, that's funny.
What other mythic is making some good waves here in Modern?
Omnath. People are doing it in the Euro Titan deck is now splashing red to just go, like, because it was doing the Bant thing with Field of the Dead, Teferi, Jace, Cryptic Command Looping, and all that. Right. They splash red for two copies of Omnath.
I mean, why not?
Because the card's fantastic there. It does everything that deck wants to do anyways.
Yep. Looking at the list right now, 4 Uro, 3 Omnath. That's your creatures. Your Planeswalkers, 3 Renin, 6, 2 Teferi. Oh, that's just...
Okay, they even went in on the Renin 6 plan. Sure, yeah. Card's freaking great in that deck. Like, unbelievable. People have also been trying it in Elemental Tribal.
Okay, yep. Remember, whenever you qualified for Phase 2 of the Mana Traders events, how many Elemental decks you went against?
Played 3 of them. Yeah. The most of any deck in the whole format. So, yeah, that was one funny... You know, it's just funny how good that card is, but we'll get to that in a minute. The last card to make an impact at the Mythic slot in Modern is Forsaken Monument.
Okay.
This one was kind of writing on the wall is kind of obvious. Like, this is an easy wish target for Karn, and some Karn boards have picked it up. Because it makes your, like, turn your Matter Reshaper into a Reality Smasher for 5 mana, like, or for this card. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll do it. Your TKSs are 6/6s, and your Reality Smashers are now 7/7s. And even if you don't have Tron online, your Tron lands make double mana.
Yep.
So this card ended up finding its way into that deck pretty easily.
Yeah, no, it's a really good card. I like it.
And it's a easy, very easy payoff for when you do just natural Tron. It's like, hey, here's my Nat Tron. Here's a Forsaken Monument on turn 4. Yep, okay.
So then, I mean, as always, when a new set comes out, there's speculation. What, you know, what's really going to be effective with the decks? We've seen, like, the Charbelcher deck has come about. It's being played a little bit. Nothing too concerning there. Neoform's coming back. We have Ad Nauseam, too. And all these decks I'm talking about have one card in common that, Jerry, you've mentioned a while ago. It's kind of egregious in its ability.
Oh, yeah, man. It's Simeon Spirit Guide, bro.
Yeah. So, do we... And we've discussed offline, you know, it is at risk of being banned, potentially.
It always is at risk because of free mana.
But
you know.
Do you think, though, because... Modern's a pretty resilient format. It takes a lot to shake up Modern, like Companion. Companion was a very abusive thing, and it rocked it completely.
Yes.
Do we really think, though, that these dual-phase modal cards are going to be able to get a Simeon Spirit Guide ban?
Luckily enough, I think coronavirus is going to save our life for a while here. Yeah. I don't think off the bat it will.
So
because the most popular deck with the lands thing is Charbelcher, and Force of Negation beats that. We're okay with that. If that is the better version, that is fine. However, if you see a MTGO top 8 where 6 of the decks are oops all spells because they realize, oh wait, this is a creature I'm trying to resolve, I can beat Force of Negation that way. That is where my nerves start to go, oh my god, no, please don't do this to me.
Right, and that's one of the big things about the Undercity Informer list that you were talking about, is that we're just able to do that.
Yeah, you can do it on turn 2 and have zero interaction with the Force of Negation. You know, turn 1, pay 3 life with a Symbiosis or a Smashing, play your Wild Canter, turn 2, Agadeem's Awakening, Exile Spirit Guide, play the 3-drop or the 4-drop, and then pay 1 for the 3-drop, and you do your thing. The question is, can this beat Cryptic Command enough times to win the game? Usually it can. It is just fast enough to beat a Cryptic Command.
Yeah.
That is the important part to understand there.
And that's the biggest thing, is being able to beat Cryptic Command lock.
Yep, you beat a Cryptic Command lock or an Anger of the Gods or something like that.
Okay.
And in some cases, some decks are just paying so much life that the 4 Creeping Chills can just be enough. Like, certainly can.
Yeah.
If you build it in a way, you probably could play a copy of Conflagrate and hit them for enough additional damage to win a game.
Nice.
There was a version where someone was playing copies of Claim to Fame, where if you flip your deck enough and you put a Thassa's Oracle in the bin, you can do that too. I personally don't like that. I'm all in on flipping this deck over as fast as humanly possible.
Yes. I've seen turn two with the Charbelcher lists, and I know turn twos can exist also with the Undercity Informer list.
Both decks can turn one.
Yeah.
It's... Like, the Undercity Informer list can most certainly turn one, because it only requires four mana to do a thing.
Yep.
And part of the problem with that is SSG. Now, I've always held fast to this one, is that SSG is not Mox Opal. You can't, like, Mox Opal has a deck restriction of being you must be playing some number of artifacts, but that became a non-factor because Mox Opal was able to be played in combo, control, aggro, and mid-range. Like, you could play any style of deck you wanted with Mox Opal as long as you fulfilled that restriction, which wasn't much of one.
No.
Simeon Spirit Guide doesn't give you the card back like Mox Opal does. Mox Opal will always generate a mana every single turn. Simeon Spirit Guide is a one-chance shot at it. Like, when you use a Simeon, like, say I use a Simeon Spirit Guide and cast this 4-drop and it sucks down a mana leak, I'm most likely going to lose that game at that point. So I'm still very against an SSG ban because of the actual fact that one free mana is costing you a full card, and it's a one-time deal. So I still hold fast and firm to that. However, considering that these three decks that have definitely taken on the use of the dual of the spell lands are all weak to the same deck that also uses SSG, I could see a future where SSG takes it.
That makes me sad because I use SSG in the Titan Breach build.
For you, it's a little less painful. If you really need that extra red mana, you can reasonably play Desperate Ritual.
Yeah. If we needed to, we could do it.
Like, the Ad Nauseam page on Facebook doesn't get it. If SSG is banned, we cannot play Ad Nauseam anymore. You're now asking me to have double mana rock every time to combo. That is too much. It is nice when it happens, but it is too much. We cannot have... Because when you do the full combo with Angel's Grace Ad Nauseam, you get maybe one land, depending on if you played a land already. That means I cannot do anything to win the game. I would have to hold, like, I would have to be able to play a Phyrexian Unlife to not die, which I can't do, so I'm going to die. And it becomes way too much of a hassle to guarantee that I resolve a Pented Prism and a Lotus Bloom, or double Lotus Bloom, or double Pented Prism. You're asking too much to make this happen at this point. They don't seem to understand that. So what would happen is the deck would eventually become some variation of Inverter with Spoils of the Vault combo locked into the deck as well. So that's kind of where I'm at on Modern. I can... And on top of that, I still think Euro is a prime candidate for a banning.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think this is a good segue here into the second big topic I wanted to talk about. The atrocity that is Standard and how I think it got to be this bad.
Okay. I'll let you take this. I want to hear you completely here.
Yeah. So, Standard primarily is being played on Magic Arena, right? And the only way we can really get cards on Magic Arena is to build decks using wild cards or dump a lot of money. It's approximately $250 or so. I know from about 2 years of experience buying out every set. So you're looking at least $1,000 investment every year to play Standard on Arena and risk bans or reprints where you have no reprint protection, so you're wasting money on more rares. That's a different rant for a different time. Anyways, so those who don't have that kind of expendable income, especially now, okay, we're still going through the midst of this pandemic. A lot of people are still on reduced working hours or, you know, working on unemployment. They are only going to put minimum money really into it, and the money they do put into it, they're going to put it into the best deck, which we all know right now is Omnath Ramp. Omnath Ramp is the absolute king of Standard, to the tune of 32% of the Standard meta in the past 2 weeks already. And it hasn't even been legal for 2 weeks yet. And it's already representing a third of it. Wizards of the Coast has already tweeted out and stated they're watching the situation and an announcement will be made on Monday. Are we going to have a ban 2 days after a card is legal on paper from Standard already? But let's go back to why so much, though. A lot of people are staying at home. They're able to watch streams. They're able to see the pros build these extremely good decks. And they want to emulate it, so they're going to copy it. They're going to put their wilds into it, because why not put your wilds into the best deck instead of trying something new and potentially wasting those wilds that are difficult to come by? Even on your basic ladder that you do, you know, trying to grind up to the end of your ladder, it's not really rewarding when it comes to your wild cards. So the best way to do it is to buy packs. And even still, you're not guaranteed a wild card in your pack. You need 6 packs to get a rare wild, and I believe it's every 18 packs you get a mythic wild. I'm not going to build jank. I'm not probably going to experiment too much. Instead, I'm going to build into the deck that is winning the ladder, and that is Omnath Ramp. So now we have this massive swarm of Omnath Ramp all over the place, just making it a terrible meta. And you either have Omnath Ramp, or you have the one or maybe two decks that beats Omnath Ramp, but really can't perform against other decks that may be getting played still. And then you end up in this situation. And then they're going to ban the card, or a card from the deck, make the deck not that great, or neuter it. It's possible they ban multiple cards. Now what, you get rewarded with some wilds, but you have to rebuild another deck, and you're not going to be able to cash in on all of those wilds. And I think that in itself is an issue we have too with Arena, in that there's no way to take now quote-unquote useless cards and convert them to something else. Okay, it's not like paper magic, where I can sell bulk, even if it's at 10 cents a card, I can still sell my bulk from a case and use that to buy a few cards that are staples in a different format. So sadly, I do believe on Monday, we're going to see a banning, probably in the realm of Omnath or Uro, and it's going to make a huge hit on the list. And really, I think both of those cards warrant a banning. They put too much text onto the card, where the card advantage now that is gained, the advantage overall that is gained from these cards, overcomes the retaliation that the opponent is able to do, whether it's creature removal, whether it's hand disruption, whatever it is. And that's one of the biggest issues, I think, that we have right now in Standard.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Rob. Both Uro and Omnath are just... no amount of removal can answer these cards. They already gain value immediately upon entering the battlefield. That alone, in and of itself, is too much for basic removal control deck to deal with. That's why control decks just haven't existed for years. They just haven't been. They can't keep up with the value that is every creature in this deck. Like between in it, it's not just Uro and Omnath, but they are the biggest offenders in that value generation. But like Chulainn, Teller of Tales, and Kenrith, Bonecrusher Giant, Radha, Heart of Kerald, they all have that immediate value. And it does. They all do things before removal can even touch them.
Yeah.
I made a comment on a post on Facebook, and I said, in order to keep up with the power level of creatures, we would need a removal spell that would say like, blacken two, exile target creature, and the controller exiles 2 cards from their hand, to keep up with that kind of advantage.
Right, and I mean it is possible too. I believe we just got a sorcery in Zendikar Rising. That's almost like Uro Light, if you will. It's either a sorcery or an instant. Let me see if I can find it. But it's along the lines of you gain a couple life. You get to put a +1/+1 counter, I think, on a creature. And then you also get to draw a card.
Are you talking about Inscription of Abundance?
That's it, yeah.
The instant? Okay, yep. The instant is... this card's great. I'm surprised they're not actually picking this card up.
All right. Go ahead and read it off for me.
One in a green, instant. Kicker, 2 in a green. Choose 1. If the spell is kicked, choose any number instead. Put 2+1/+1 counters on a creature. Target player gains X life, where X is the greatest power among creatures they control. Target creature you control fights target creature you don't control.
Oh, no, that is not it.
It's not it. Okay. No. I was thinking, like, on a turn where you have 5 mana, you just cast Uro and hold priority to the sacrifice trigger and use the inscription to have it fight something.
Yeah, no, that surprisingly is not the card I was talking about.
What are you talking about then?
I gotta find it. Here we go. It's a sorcery. 2 in a green. Put a +1/+1 on up to one target creature. You gain 2 life. You may play an additional land this turn. Draw a card.
Jeez. It's like Cryptic Command, but green.
Right. It is. And you do it all, right? Okay. Up to one creature gets +1/+1. Even if it's an arbor, if it's like a Elvish Mystic or a Land of War Elf, you know, a dork. Great. You did it.
Do you remember the card Primal Command?
Yes.
This is better than that. This is Primal Command in green, and it
Draw a
does it.
card, play an additional land, and then yeah, the +1/+1 counter. Oh, and if you have Lotus Cobra out, okay, great. So Lotus Cobra was 2-drop, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Lotus Cobra turn 2.
Yep.
Play your land, generate a mana. Tap, cast this, play another land, generate a mana. So you got 2 floating plus land you just played. You have 3 more mana. If you have a second one in hand, you get to do this again.
Hey, and your Lotus Cobra's now 4/3.
Yeah, like granted, I mean, sure, it's magical Christmas land, but
I don't think that's actually magical Christmas land. You're asking to play a common you would play 4 copies of in a deck and a rare you were playing 4 copies of in your deck.
I
Is that
mean,
really magical Christmas land?
yeah, true. Yeah, I would definitely do it.
I guess the magical Christmas land part is that they don't have Spike Field in their hand to kill the Lotus Cobra.
Now, what about Lotus Cobra though? I mean, playing my
Man.
land generates a lot of mana, right?
Man, okay. I played this card in the OG Zendikar format with fetch lands, where this card did generate 3 mana a turn, and it was nowhere near powerful enough to do anything. Because we weren't paying that mana into type of cards like Uro and Omnath. They just didn't exist.
Yeah.
Those things just didn't happen. The best thing Lotus Cobra was doing with that amount of mana was you would cast Violent Ultimatum on turn 3. And even that was kind of like it was a triple Stone Rain is what it wound up doing, and that was magical Christmas land. In this, it's Lotus Cobra isn't the problem. Like you could make Lotus Cobra into the enchantment Wolf Willow Haven, and the effect would still basically be the same. You do lose out on Fabled Passage doing the thing with Lotus Cobra, but that's later in the game anyways.
Yeah.
Like we're not hitting, you're not in that net necessarily that full net. Full Black Lotus mana on turn 3 with Lotus Cobra. It just doesn't happen. But I could see Wizards overcorrecting and banning the Lotus Cobra alongside Uro and Omnath. I think that with this upcoming announcement, they're gonna overcorrect, and I'll call my shots here. I think we're gonna actually see 5 cards get banned out of Standard on Monday.
Let's hear it.
Okay, I got Lotus Cobra, Uro, and Omnath. Uro and Omnath are like a high, like 90% on both of those. Lotus Cobra, I'm on 75%, but I'm gonna say it does get it. The next one is Ugin. They need to take out. They're gonna probably take out the best ramp payoff, even though it's not played as much in these decks. It's gonna be a knee jerk because people will return to Ugin since I can't play Omnath, so Ugin will go. And the last card that'll take a hit is Lucky Clover. Kind of falls in the same lines as when the cat got banned out of Cat Oven. Because it's not the lines of play, it's just that it's the best thing to be doing. And when you get that on the battlefield, the deck is way too good compared to the rest of the decks. But as I've said before, when you don't have it going, you're really a worse version of a lot of decks. So like the Adventures deck will die for the sins of this format because they want to not allow that deck to kind of do its thing. Because it's one of the two decks that's able to keep up with Omnath to some degree.
Yeah.
And the only degree is when they actually play the Lucky Clover. If they don't play the Lucky Clover, they lose. It feels bad.
Now, one thing too that really isn't being talked about when it comes to Standard, we do have rotation happening.
Are you saying we wait till the Viking set drops?
No. I'm saying like, or what, for the bannings?
Yeah.
I hope not. I
Man,
really hope not.
I really hope not either. Like, these cards need to just go. Like, we have at least, I think all 5 of those, Ugin, Cobra, Titan, Omnath, and Lucky Clover are all taking the hit.
Yeah.
I think all 5 of them are going to get shoveled out of the way on Monday. I think they're just outright, it could even be that they ban Escape to the Wilds because they're just, I hope that they're that sick of ramp where that does happen. Like
Gotcha.
Escape to the Wilds, this card has been printed in 100 different ways in the past 10 years, and none of them have been ever playable up until ramp strategies have been abusively playable.
Yeah.
Like the being able to play lands and get value off of your lands is impossible to deal with. I even said like I wished that Blood Moon was in this standard, because at least this deck would not be as dominant.
But nope, instead it is.
Nope, we are here to deal with it. And I am glad I did not buy into Standard.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
However, I can see myself getting four uncommon wild cards on Monday.
Now, the thing is, though, now we have to look at this, okay? This is, what, back-to-back sets here? We had Ikoria, our last set that came out for Standard, right? No, we had 21 come out last. 21 was okay. It's a core set, whatever. But then when we had Ikoria come out, though, Ikoria got trashed by the companion nerf. Now, Zendikar is about to get hit with the banning of its most expensive card and probably the absolute, I mean, the absolute best card in the set, potentially 2 days after paper release. Do you think WotC's like starting to kind of not really panic, but hopefully self-analyze what are we doing with our card development? Why can't our playtest team pick up on things like this? Because I know that's a question that a lot of the players are asking now is how can they.
How have we gone five sets in a row with this?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say that the Euro ban is long overdue. They waited too long on that. They waited too long on the Oko ban, and they waited too long on the Teferi Wilderness Reclamation bans. Like they've been, we are now at a point where I'm looking back, and the last time we had a fairly balanced standard, because they sandbag they had a bad history of sandbagging bans, cards that needed to go. Like Collected Company should have gone. But it never did. It was 40% of the meta at one time, and they just made us deal with it.
I
If you
think
could remember all the way back. What's that?
I was going to say, I think we go all the way back to like Khans of Tarkir and Theros era.
Yeah, that's the last time we had a balanced standard. And even then, people kind of had. There was an issue with Dig Through Time. Like, and we kind of just sat there and dealt with it, where. If we were to actually go back and look at it, it probably should have been banned too on the onset of the set from standard. Because they let it live in standard, but it almost got immediately banned from modern, legacy, and vintage. Or
Yeah, they
restricted
realize
there. But you
they,
get my point.
yeah.
Like, that you keep, you know, we can go back all the way and be like, that we've just been, now that we have Arena, being able to play as much Magic as we have and just be able to shovel out game after game after game after game, we're starting to see now that Omnath is like we need to, they need to go and like look at their design team completely.
Yeah, because Shadows
I
over
think.
Innistrad into Kaladesh, that's where we saw Aetherworks Marvel and that, and we saw just energy
And we saw
overshadowing everything.
the Delirium thing. And we saw the blue white flash thing with Reflector Mage out of Oath of the Gatewatch. Like, I don't think there has been a balanced standard since RTR Theros.
Yeah, now, what was it? Amonkhet and Guilds. That was an okay standard. Amonkhet,
Nope,
or
no, it
sorry.
wasn't. They had to ban cards out of that one.
Well, yeah, they banned a few cards, but like I was able to play a decent mid-range deck in that era. Or it might not have been an Amonkhet, Return
No,
of Ravnica.
nothing attached to Amonkhet at all is balanced. Nothing. Even if it's Amonkhet Ixalan, it's not balanced.
All right.
Like, I just, nothing, because Amonkhet made red the best color by far and away. If you weren't playing red, you just weren't playing the best deck. Like,
Gotcha.
had Arena been released completely to the public instead of in beta at that time, I think we would have seen like a 60% Hazo red metagame.
Yeah.
Like, it just, Arena allows us to see the problems way quicker.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, it's been rough, and it's kind of sad to see that it's, you know, standard's been like this because standard is supposed to be the premier champion format. But again, when here we are already 1 week in, and some people complain, they're like, oh, well, people aren't innovating. And it's like, have
Why
you played the
would I
deck?
innovate when I could just play this four drop creature that does everything?
Yeah, like.
There's no need to innovate when the card just reads wall of text. Like, that's absurd to me.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, you got three separate landfall effects, which, congrats, you can hit most of them. No problem.
You will hit all of them. There are 31 air quote lands in the deck.
Yeah.
Like, Felidar Retreat is, I think, another egregious error. Like, this is just Field of the Dead, but an enchantment. Ooh, you can interact with it with Assassin's Trophy. Oh, by the way, it rotated out.
Yep. Now, what is interesting, though, is the Omnath list is not playing Dryad of Elysian Grove. Some of them aren't.
Some aren't.
Yeah, I feel like that would almost be another good auto include because of the being able to play the additional land, triggering all of your landfall abilities, just continuing to ramp. But it could be competing with other cards in the deck that they want to play.
I think it's because they have to play Spike Field Hazard as an automatic four of.
Gotcha.
It's kind of where I'm thinking. Like, it's such an odd four of, but you do need to shoot Lotus Cobra dead.
Yeah, but I mean, so the list I'm looking at right here, and it's from the Star City Games online challenge. It's got two Elysian Caryatids, two Kenriths, four Lotus Cobra, four Omnath, four Ruin Crabs. Because why not mill your opponent too while you're at it?
That's a weird one.
Right, yeah,
I
I would
wouldn't be
take those
milling.
out.
I wouldn't be milling my opponent with Uro in the deck.
No, and then of course, I also have three Uros in here too. Three Escape the Wild, four Genesis Ultimatum, three Mystical Dispute, and three Spike Field Hazard. One of the modal dual face cards. That's standard. Sadly, I really do believe we are going to get another ban, and I feel sorry for a lot of people who have been pre-ordering cards, hoping to get ready, because this is at least a standard that we can buy into in preparation for playing paper standard next year when the paper events do come back. Because like when it came to Aquaria, there was no reason to. There's no reason to buy a paper Aquaria after we saw how significant this was going to be as it continued on. Same thing with M21, other than the fact that prices are low. But now that we have this, people want to jump on it, try to buy it on the cheap. So then whenever it becomes paper season again, already have the cards. Oh, but here's $120 that just got banned, or $160 that just got banned.
Yep, it makes me sad. It really does. And it, I honestly think that the R&D department needs to be cleaned out. There was a day where, like, when the Urza's block happened, Mark Rosewater was brought into an office, and this was a story that he posted, and they said, "Don't ever let this happen again." Well, here we are. It happened 5 times in a row now. Like, I think it's time to start moving out that upper leadership that allows this shit to happen.
I remember when we had those first set of bannings in Standard, what was that, about 4 or 5 years ago? And the Standard community was like shocked. It's like, holy crap, we have something banned in Standard. Anymore now, it's like, okay, another banning for Standard. Like, it's a common thing. It
They
shouldn't be
have
a
to.
common thing, but because of the R&D's failures, yeah, we have to.
I guess you can make one last adjustment, and this is the one I really would like to see. Cut out access to all data. Deck lists need to go. I think that needs to happen. If you could do that might, I mean, it mitigates some of the problem. I think the Magic IQ is too high, and we all kind of knew the Omnath deck was going to be the best thing.
Yeah.
Like, this one was the writing was on the wall. It's just like, how do we build this deck now? And I think the best version is I think it's the Oliver 2 version. Oliver 2 is a pro from way back in the bygone era of the 90s, early 2000s, all the way up to now. He's played this game forever, and he's always at the top tables. If Oliver 2 is playing the deck, I'm looking at it and saying this is correct. He went 6-2, made cut the top eight, and then won the top eight.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. This episode should be coming out on Friday, September 25th. So we'll be 3 days away from the announcement. And, one last gripe I have. Wizards, how can you screw up for the second time in a row set releases and product going out to your stores? What's going on? How are the distributors not being able to get enough to fulfill their needs? Like, what? This is twice now that people have to wait. I mean,
I think they're
granted,
killing. I think this is killing paper. I think they just don't print as much.
but they just made the set booster, so they obviously want to try to push to have that, $5, $7, $10 booster with the draft booster slowly going up in price, the set booster being a little bit more exclusive, and then
Yeah,
obviously your collector booster.
they boost the price of boosters, pun not intended,
I'm...
and they print less of them, so they have more reason to boost the prices.
Yeah.
The supply is not there, but the demand is, so the price goes up. It's looking to kill paper.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the doomsayer here. Paper gonna die.
Yeah, sad but true. But anyways, that's gonna do it for us tonight. Jerry, do you have anything else?
Nah, man. Play modern. Best format ever.
Hands down, 100%. Been saying it for a few years now. But thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Again, we really appreciate everyone that does. Be sure to check us out on all of your social media avenues and outlets for the occasional updates we do post when we do get a chance to jam modern. But until then, everyone, stay safe, social distance, and we will see y'all next month.
Oh, shit.